Thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you all for coming. As everybody knows, soil acidity affects plant growth directly, but also indirectly, by affecting plant availability of nutrients, levels of phytotoxic elements, and microbial activity. Some causes of soil acidification can be divided in natural and agricultural causes. Among the natural ones are the leaching and plant uptake of bases, and also acid rain. And among the agricultural causes, we can consider fertilizers or manure application, especially if those are sources of nitrogen. Limestone application is one of the most common ways to reduce soil acidity, and because limestone contains calcium and magnesium carbonates in different proportions. Iowa State recommendations for lime in Iowa were developed in the 70s, and they suggest lime application for corn and soybean when soil pH is below 6.5, and when it is below 6 for high pH subsoil series. In Iowa, we have soil series with calcareous subsoils or with high pH subsoils, and for those soil series, the optimum pH is lower. Even though these recommendations are still useful, research to update them or to confirm them is necessary because of the changes in crop production, in production practices and yield levels since these recommendations were developed. In addition, there was little information in Iowa about the variation in soil pH and crop response to lime across the landscape, I mean within fields. In this sense, precision agriculture techniques such as GPS, GIS, yield monitors, and georeferenced soil sampling are very useful tools to study the soil test and crop response variation at a field scale. The two objectives that we have in this project were to use a methodology based on limestone applications to long strips, dense soil sampling, GPS, GIS, and yield monitors to study the variation in soil pH and crop response to landscape to lime within fields, I mean across the landscape. And secondly, to identify the optimum soil pH for corn and soybean rotation in some of the most important Iowa soils. In order to answer those objectives, we established 14 experiments in Iowa. Five experiments were established in 2007, five more in 2008, and four more in 2009 on farmers' fields conducted with conventional tillage and no-till across the most important Iowa soil series, which were basically mollisols, but included apludols, endoaquols, argiodols, and aplaquols. Of course, we selected acid fields and acid soil fields, and with variable ranges or with variable contents of organic matter. Okay, the methodology we followed was the following. As I said, we selected acid fields, and we created this kind of grids using GPS and GIS, and we took soil samples before the lime application using this grid approach. The size of the grid was 0.07 hectares, so it was a very dense grid approach. After that, we applied the lime in long strips just once, and we applied just a single rate of lime at 6.7 megagrams of ECCE per hectare. ECCE, it's an index used in Iowa for characterizing lime, and it considers both the purity of the lime and the particle size. After that, the farmers planted the crops, either corn and soybeans, and we harvested them with combines with GPS and yield monitors. That way we could calculate the response to lime across the field. I mean, we calculated the response as the difference between the yields in the cells with Lyme and without Lyme. After every harvest, every year, we also take soil samples using this approach in order to calculate the increase in the soil pH because of the Lyme application. And finally, we overlaid the information of the soil series with our yield information and soil information. Okay, I'm going to share some results with you. This is just to show you the variation, the original variation of soil pH and three buffer pH methods across our long strips. As I said, this was just original variation before the Lyme application. I should say that the buffer methods are methods that they are used to determine Lyme requirements. And this is an example of one field in which the spatial variation wasn't very big. Some intermediate situation in site one, and a huge spatial variation of soil pH and the three buffers that we measured in site four. I have to say that the buffers that we use are the SMP, the SMP, which is the most common used in Iowa, the Sikora buffer P, and the Melick buffer pH. In this graph, I'm showing for our 14 sites the initial pH, the average initial pH of every site in red bars, the pH after 1 year of Lyme application in green bars. And for our oldest fields, the pH after 2 years of Lyme application and after 3 years of Lyme application in light blue. As you can see here, the most important increase in the pH occurred during the first year in most of the fields, but there are some fields in which there are additional increases of pH because of the Lyme application after 1 year. In this slide, I'm showing the relationship between the pH change due to Lyme and some of the soil variables that we measure. In this case, I'm showing the initial the change in pH as a function of the initial soil pH, as a function of the SMP buffer pH, and as a function of the organic matter and clay content. And as you can see here, the only clear relationship that we found is with initial soil pH. Interestingly, we didn't see any good relationship between the increase in pH and the SMP buffer pH. And this is important because this is the method we used in Iowa to determine Lyme requirements. And we didn't find a good relationship also with organic matter and clay content. So now I'm going to share some yield results. This is the relative response to Lyme as a function of the original pH of the soil for corn across our 14 sites and all the years we have in our project. And what we can see here is that it's something very expected to me. As the acid, the lower the pH, the higher the response. And something similar happened with soybean. Even though there is some variability here, there is a clear trend that says that the lower the pH, the higher the response to Lyme. But Iowa State recommendations, as I said in the introduction, say that the optimum pH should be lower for corn and soybean for the fields, for the soil series that have high pH subsoils. These soil associations are the ones that have high pH subsoils, and the ones that I put in red here are the ones that we have in our trials. So we analyzed the yield response to Lyme by subsoil using the high pH subsoil series and the non-high pH subsoil series. And what we got is this. For corn, I'm showing the relative response to Lyme as a function of the initial pH for high pH subsoil series. There is no trend here, and the response is much lower than when we consider the non-high pH subsoil series. So this is, if you can compare this, when we select the high pH subsoil series, the response is lower and there is no trend. But when we consider the non-high pH subsoil series, this is what we got. And something similar happened to soybean. This is for high pH subsoil series, the response, the relative response to lime as a function of the initial pH. We see a lower response and a big variability when we consider the high pH subsoil series, but when we consider the non-high pH subsoil series, the response again is much, much higher, and there is a clear trend here. So some of the conclusions that we have from this project are that 1 year was enough time for the lime to fully react with the soil in some of the field, in the majority of our fields, but it kept reacting for longer in some others. So we still have to determine the reasons for this. Also, that the actual pH was the best single predictor of the pH increase due to lime application. And in terms of yields, the corn and soybeans have a high probability of response, of significant response, when the pH is below 6. And there is a smaller probability of response when the pH is between 6 and 6.5. And finally, that soil series with high pH subsoils have, in those series with high pH subsoils, the optimum pH for corn and beans is lower than when we consider soils without calcareous subsoils, and the response in those soils is much more variable. So thank you very much for your attention, and I wanted to acknowledge the Iowa Soybean Association for partially funding this project. So I would like to listen to some questions if you have.
So where would you make a recommendation for lime on those soils that have a high subsoil pH for corn and soybeans? Still in 6.0?
I think we have to keep working on this in order to answer that question. But for sure, for high pH subsoil series, the optimum pH is lower, as the old recommendation said. I don't know exactly the optimum pH yet, because we have to collect the data from this year and make a summary. But for sure, the optimum pH is lower. So we have to consider what's going on in the subsoil to make a recommendation. Yes, please.
Sorry, are you going to, when you get ready to develop your recommendations, are you going to just use the general knowledge that the soil, subsoil pH is high or low, or are you going to actually sample it?
It's a good question. We based our division of the subsoils based on the soil series, the soil series information. But what we did this year was to take soil samples from the subsoil on all of our soil associations in order to measure all the variables, free calcium carbonate, percentage of calcium in the exchangeable complex, and many other properties in order to check what we are getting here. But for sure, we have to be sure that the thing that is decreasing the response is free calcium carbonate, or we have to know exactly what that is in order to respond to that. Yes.
Why do you think there is no
It's a good question, because it was surprising to me, because as everybody knows, the organic matter content and the clay contents are the most important factors to determine the buffer capacity of the soil. So it's kind of surprising to me. But even though we got a trend, we didn't get any statistically significant relationship. So there are some other factors in the soil that are interacting with that. But we are going to try to get a multiple regression to integrate many variables to see which is the best predictor of the pH increase. But apparently we cannot predict correctly the increasing pH with just one variable. Probably we have to consider many or more than one.
Thank you.
Thank you.